Well, the Strait of Hormuz remains closed for 11 weeks now. And it looks like the USA is poised to resume military strikes against Iran. Of course, Israel is always up to more escalation. In the meantime, a nuclear power facility in the UAE was struck by drones, drones that they say came from the West. But if you understand the shape of the UAE on the map, that could still be drones from Iran, or it could be drones from Iraq, could be a false flag from Israel, launched from a secret base in Iraq. It could be all kinds of things. I don't think Iran is taking responsibility for that strike, but I may be wrong about that. The point is, escalation is in the cards. There still is not a resolution to the strait. Although, a couple of days ago, about a dozen ships were allowed to go through. That was after Trump met with China's President Xi. And apparently, there was some kind of agreement, arrangement that also involved Iran giving China permission to allow a certain number of ships to sail through. But it's nowhere near the resumption of the normal 120 a day, or whatever the actual number used to be before Trump launched this war on Iran. Now, each day that goes by, the clock is ticking, obviously. The clock is ticking on the supply chain of oil and gas and fertilizer and motor oil, lubricants, lots of things. But the crisis of this hasn't been apparent to most Westerners for the simple reason that there was already oil on the way, or there was already gas on the way, there was already fertilizer on the way, helium, sulfuric acid, polyethylene, etc. Those supplies were on the ships on the way for about 8 weeks or whatever it was. That's run out. Now we're into week 11. There are really no more ships on the surface of, floating on the ocean that have come out of the Persian Gulf that are on their way to Western countries. There are some ships on the way to China, like I said, but not ships on the way to Western countries. And you might say, well, we have our own oil supplies. Yeah, sure we do, but we have to have different kinds of oil imported, and then we export, the sweet light crude. That's what we export, while we have to import the heavier crude. And if we run out of that, then we're going to have some scarcity issues. Many people are starting to become aware of the motor oil shortage that has already kicked in. That's a big deal, and it's going to get a lot worse. And this is what we need to understand: the lag time of the system. Recovery will take easily the rest of the year, even if the war is ended tomorrow. Which means that right now you should have already bought motor oil for your vehicle, or you should be planning on doing that in the next 2 days. Why? Because the motor oil shortage is very real, and it's going to be impossible to get some types of motor oil because the blenders, these are the companies that blend the base oils with various additives, etc. The blenders are reporting that their order of base oils are being rejected. So the base oils are just not available like they used to be, which means that the blended final engine oil is just not going to show up on the shelves. We're already seeing some hints of some letters of warning about this exact issue, rumored to be from various companies like AutoZone and Honda, and I think Nissan was one of them as well. And probably something similar is happening with Toyota, and Ford and whatever. But it's just not that public yet. MSN, mainstream media, did do one story on this that I saw. It's the first hint that I've seen of this in the corporate media. And it's just an indication that the public is going to find out about this pretty soon. Once the public figures this out, then people are gonna buy engine oil like toilet paper during COVID, okay? Because everybody knows the importance of transportation. So that's what's coming. And the only thing that you can do right now is just beat the rush and get the engine oil right now. It's very easy to look up what kind of engine oil you need. You can just go to search.brave.com. And if you type in a question there at the top of your browser, it will answer it with AI. And you can ask a question like, oh, you know, I have a 2023 whatever vehicle, and I want to know what engine oil it uses, and here's the engine size. You know, it's a 1.6 liter engine or whatever. And it will typically give you the right answer. And there's not that many different kind of oils for regular cars anyway. And in a pinch, you could get by with an oil that's not the perfect spec for your car, but you certainly don't want to run dirty oil. So it's better to have oil that's a little bit off than dirty oil that you run too long. And by the way, in case you don't know this about oils, an oil might be labeled something like 5W30 or 0W20 or 10W40 or whatever. All those numbers mean is that the first number is the viscosity when you cold start the engine. That's all that number means. So room temperature. And then the second number is the oil viscosity at boiling, or 100C. That's all that means. So the oil is supposed to be, you know, more, I guess supposed to be more sort of thin when you start it so that it circulates quickly. And then it thickens up as it gets hotter, which seems counterintuitive, but at least that's my understanding of how it works. Nevertheless, the second number is more important for you than the first number. So if you run out of oil out there on the shelves and you don't know what to get, at least match the second number for your engine, whether it's a 20 or 30 or 40 or whatever, and then you'll probably be okay. But now, aside from engine oil, we are about to experience shortages in many, many products. I already mentioned polyethylene. One of the primary sources of PE feedstock comes out of, you know, the Persian Gulf, out of, I think, Qatar. And because that's missing from the supply chain, then, you know, think about everything that's made out of PE. Lots of different parts, not only car parts, machine parts, but also barrels, containers, sometimes, you know, food storage containers, industrial containers, containers that ship oil, for example. Lots of things are made out of PE. You know, it's a rugged, UV-resistant polymer that is used throughout the supply chain, and it's going to be hurt. It will erode badly, and bad things will happen as a result. So be prepared for that. Now, all of this actually reminds me a little bit of COVID. Remember the supply chain cratering during COVID? A lot of things were out of stock. But that was because of shutdown of manufacturing. You know, the health authorities would shut down the production lines at a manufacturer. That wasn't because of a lack of resources or raw materials coming out of the Middle East. So this is a very different problem, and this is actually a far worse problem, because you can't solve this problem by simply reopening the factories. This problem has a long lag time, like I said earlier. It's going to be months and months before this gets resolved, even to the end of the year. That would not be, you know, out of the question. In fact, the famine part of this is going to continue well into 2027. And we've already covered that in other broadcasts, so I'm not going to go into extra detail here. The bottom line is you need to get prepared in many areas of your life if you're not already. Have your backup supplies, you know, engine oil, whatever. But also any kind of parts that you think you're going to need. And then on top of that, make sure that your family members are prepared. Make sure that your neighbors are aware of what's happening. You can at least point out to them, hey, there's a shortage that's beginning here. When the shelves start to go empty of oil, things like that, you could point that out, and that's something they could see for themselves, even if they're not well-informed in other areas. At least when they go to the store, they can see that for themselves. All right, another factor here is that food prices are going to rise. Transportation prices are going to rise. That's also for travel. So any kind of travel will get a lot more expensive. This means that, of course, you know, any kind of tourism areas are going to get hit very hard. On top of that, Shipping fees will go up for many items. E-commerce prices will rise. We've even had to raise our minimum purchase for free shipping at our store, by the way. We had to raise it a little bit. It's still pretty low, I think, but it's not as low as it used to be. On top of that, shipping delays are going to become more commonplace. So you're going to have longer wait times for everything that you need to get. And in some cases, the wait times will just be, you know, forever. It's just, we don't even know when the supply is coming back online. You're going to see that happening a lot. Now, of course, all of this is going to get a lot worse as we enter the midterms. And this means that the GOP is going to take a lot of blame for this. Trump is going to take a lot of blame. He's done a lot of manipulation of oil prices and releasing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, etc., to try to keep energy prices low. And that has had an effect for, you know, a couple of months now. But you can't do that forever. Eventually, the real-world supply-demand curve catches up to you, and then people end up paying the actual price for whatever items are needed. So that day is coming. Oil is going to go much, much higher. And that means, you know, $10 a gallon for gasoline won't be uncommon in America. You know, a lot of people are, just as a side note here, a lot of people are buying EVs right now. I mentioned this a month ago or so, that EV sales are really through the roof right now. That's because people are doing the math on this. And if you do the math, it's very interesting. Driving an EV is anywhere from 1/3 to 1/4 the cost of driving a regular combustion engine vehicle per mile. That's just in terms of the fuel, just the gas versus the electricity. Depends on how much you're paying for your electricity rates and how much you're paying for gas. But right now in America, an EV is 1/3 the cost, roughly, of a combustion engine. And actually, it's better than that because the EV doesn't, you don't have to change engine oil. So there is no engine oil. So as engine oil shortages get worse, a lot of people are going to say, well, hey, I can just buy an EV and I don't have to worry about engine oil and I don't ever have to go to a gas station. I can charge it at home or I can use charging stations that are out there on the road. That's more expensive to use charging stations versus charging it at home, by the way. But if you're in a hurry, you can use the charging stations. So not only are EVs a lot less expensive to operate, but they're also much simpler. You don't have to have oil changes, for example. And again, for a lot of people, that's a huge deal. So this is going to be a selling point for EVs. So, you know, Tesla's going to do well. Hyundai is going to do well. Who else has EVs? I think they all have EVs now. Toyota's rolling out, I think, a Highlander EV sometime this year. You know, Mercedes, they've all got EVs at this point. And that's just going to take over more and more, which is going to put more pressure on the power grid, which is already strained because of data centers. So you see, there's no free lunch. The energy has to come from somewhere. If it doesn't come from oil, it's got to come from the power grid. Unless there's, you know, driving lockdowns or something like that, which is a possibility. That has already begun in some countries. And it might start to happen in certain cities or certain regions of the United States. For example, California is highly vulnerable to oil shortages because they don't have their own refining. They, you know, California decided to shut down all their oil infrastructure over the last 20 years. And as a result, they don't have any. So they have to import almost everything that they use there. And they don't even have any functioning nuclear power plants other than maybe, is there one still working in California? So they just shut down all their energy. They decided to go green. And going green means having no energy. So yeah, what's LA going to look like if the cars stop rolling? Huh? It's going to look like a giant concrete parking lot is what it's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to get that bad, but we're certainly headed in that direction. So we'll just have to see. The longer this war goes on, the worse it gets for everybody. No question about that. again, we're in week 11 right now. I don't see a solution anywhere in sight. This could go on for months. And Iran does not appear poised to give in at all. So this is going to go on for quite some time. So be sure to get prepared. Our best sponsor for preparedness is the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And they also have solar generators, by the way, with solar panels. They've got Faraday bags. They have, you know, EMP protection, blankets, all kinds of things, in addition to the satellite phones. So they are definitely worth checking out. On top of that, in terms of food and iodine and off-grid supplies, of course, healthrangerstore.com, we will continue to bring you food supplies that are lab-tested, mostly certified organic, very high-end, plus high-end supplements. Again, all lab-tested, personal care products, clean laundry detergent without all the fragrance chemical crap that you find in the store-bought brands, automatic dishwasher detergent, body soap, toothpaste, deodorant without aluminum, you know, just based on baking soda and magnesium, etc. You can find all these products at healthrangerstore.com. And you'll be doing yourself a favor with good health support to boot. So check all that out. And if you want to follow more of my podcasts, I'm at brightvideos.com, as well as my articles at naturalnews.com. So follow me there. I'll keep you up to date. I'll keep following. I'll keep researching this issue. I'm doing daily research on water supplies, gas supplies, oil, solar, battery storage technology, all kinds of things. I'll keep you up to date as best I can to help you stay decentralized and off-grid and resilient against whatever is coming. So again, check it out at brightvideos.com. I'm Mike Adams, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Naturally shelf-stable and able to last for years, Pink Himalayan salt goes beyond simply just serving as standard culinary seasoning. Enhance your favorite recipes with ultra-clean and lab-verified Pink Himalayan salt, only at healthrangerstore.com.